an aircraft landed at Royal Air Force Croydon in late summer 1940. But instead of taxiing to the hangar, it stayed on the runway. As ground crew rushed to see what was wrong, they discovered the pilot asleep. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. He could have been from 72 Squadron, based at Croydon before moving to Biggin Hill, and whose current standard has been paraded this morning. For a young, newly trained pilot plunged into the fray, this was the reality of the Battle of Britain. A relentless rhythm of adrenaline and fear, of dashing verve and supreme skill, and perhaps some luck, together with a unique camaraderie forged in the heat of battle. It is fitting that we honour the few, those 2,900 or so members of Fighter Command, among their number pilots from the Commonwealth and other European allies. They withheld nothing in taking the fight to the enemy in a seemingly last stand against a menacing aggressor. Ordinary men who, when the call came, rose to extraordinary heights. We also salute the many who served during that pivotal battle, from aircraft engineers to strategic commanders, the civilian pilots of the Air Transport Auxiliary, radar observers from Cornwall to Scotland, the courageous crews of coastal and bomber commands, factory workers, scientists, auxiliaries and regulars, men and women from every corner of the United Kingdom. The Battle of Britain is lodged in our corporate memory because it reminds us of just what is possible, however great the odds, when we pull together. Yet there comes a time when we reach the end of our individual and shared strength. Even Sailor Milan, one of the highest scoring aces, later recalled, "Of course I was frightened. Right in the heat of battle, I went to my room and there were tears in my eyes." No wonder Sunday, the 8th of September, at the request of the King, was designated a national day of prayer. Remember, O God, for good, these watchmen, who by day and night climb into the air. Let thy hand lead them, we beseech thee, and thy right hand hold them. This prayer echoes countless cries to God down the ages. Our first reading describes such a time, 600 years before the birth of Jesus, with the people of Israel in exile. As with the intensity of 1940, the very human sense of despair and fear for the future resonates down the years. Into this desperate situation, the prophet Isaiah brought a divine and timeless message of hope. Lift up your eyes. Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. His understanding is unsearchable. He does not faint nor grow weary. Those who wait for him shall renew their strength. They shall soar with wings as eagles. We have been reminded this past week, as so often, of the turbulence of the nations and the fragility of our peace and security. In contrast, the promises of God stand the test of time. The restoration of Isaiah's community in 538 BC is testimony to God's mercy, as indeed is the deliverance gained in the Battle of Britain. 77 years on, it is right that we continue to thank God for his hand upon our nation in those dark days when our pilots seemingly soared with eagle's wings. So what about today? Falling on our knees in prayer individually and collectively may still be a very wise decision. For the requirements of the defence vision are exacting. Witness the range of our military commitments, from frontline operations to humanitarian relief in the Caribbean this last week. Standing alongside a heightened security state, this reflects an international environment that is complex and uncertain, stretching not just our physical resources, but our intellectual, moral, and emotional capacities. But even more, for however able the individual, whether aircrew or RAF regiment, male or female, whether an experienced commander or a skilled politician, however supportive the community around us, we need to draw resilience from deep spiritual wells. And so in the remarkable act this morning of placing the standard of 72 Squadron on the altar, we confirm not just our own loyalty and historic sense of identity, but more significantly, God's presence and faithfulness for us. Anyone who has enjoyed the privilege of spending time with our young servicemen and women will know that they are up to the task. After listening recently to a confident presentation by a young cadet at a leadership conference, I asked a senior officer what he thought of her talk, and he responded, "Frightening." These young people are keen to be a force for good and are prepared to shun the culture of easy options, to show themselves worthy successors of their forebears. In this respect, they reflect the young woman in our second reading who anointed Jesus in preparation for his burial. She had no status in that society and faced opposition from vested interests, but she saw what was needed and displayed a generosity of spirit and service far beyond what was expected. This was her story, one that continues to be told. This is the story of the few who rose to extraordinary heights in preserving our freedom. Supremely, it is the story of Jesus, who proved through his death and resurrection that sacrificial service and moral courage ultimately triumph. Let it be our story also, now and for the future. Amen.